This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here today. Rob Brenton taking you up until 6 o'clock today. We've got a lot planned over the course of the next 4 hours. At some point in the 2 o'clock hour, we are expecting Patrick Mahomes to call into the show. I will be honest, I do not have an exact time that Patrick Mahomes is scheduled to call in, but I've been told that he's going to call in today at some time in the 2 o'clock hour, so we are very happy to talk to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. In the 3 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Mike Pereira. We heard so much complaining yesterday from the Cincinnati Bengals faithful about the officiating. We wanted to talk to somebody who could answer our questions about the officiating. Was it good? Was it bad? Did they make the right call on the unnecessary roughness regarding Patrick Mahomes? Mike Pereira will join us coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. We will ask him all of our questions. Again, you're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. We are expected to be joined by Patrick Mahomes at some point here in the 2 o'clock hour. Speaking of the quarterback, I don't know if fear is the correct term, but whenever Patrick Mahomes got the massive contract extension a few years ago, one worry was, well, how do you continue to maintain the rest of your roster when you have paid your quarterback? We've seen in a lot of different situations how your roster has to change once you sign a player to that kind of deal. You've got to work around it. His contract is somewhat of an anchor. And now you have to build around his contract. And the person that was saddled with that responsibility was Brett Veach. And all of us said, well, if the Chiefs are going to be able to maintain this level of play, they're going to be able to do it by drafting and developing well. You're not going to be able to go out and give a wide receiver a four-year, $120 million, $90 million guaranteed kind of deal. You're going to have to make smart, shrewd moves. You're going to have to win trades, and that's how you're going to be able to extend this window. That was what we all said regarding Brett Veach. Well, let's fast forward to the AFC Championship game, because didn't Brett Veach do exactly that? Trent McDuffie had 6 tackles and 2 pass deflections. George Karloftis had a sack in Sunday's AFC Championship game. Sky Moore was asked to step up and play a little bit more receiver than he has so far this year. He had 3 catches, had a massive punt return that really sparked this team and helped put them in a position to go win the game. Brian Cook might have got beaten the first half of the game, but rebounded nicely. 4 tackles, a pass breakup, a deflection that led to a Joshua Williams interception. Another rookie making a big play. Jalen Watson, who made plays in both playoff games, he had an interception. Isaiah Pacheco gave you 85 yards from scrimmage. We're talking about up and down. I just gave you the name of 7 draft picks for the Kansas City Chiefs, 7 rookies this year. And all of them stepped up in various ways, whether it was George Karloftis getting pressure on the quarterback, whether it was Sky Moore and the special teams, whether it was your young secondary making plays, forcing turnovers, helping in the turnover differential. All of us asked Brett Veach to draft and develop and to be smart with the salary cap after the Patrick Mahomes contract, and that's exactly what he did. this team was going to have to do it, quote, the old-fashioned way, by drafting and developing its own players and building around Patrick Mahomes. And that is exactly what we saw them do in the AFC Championship. Rob, this should make you proud. This is how you want teams to be built. This was a Rob Brenton team-building exercise, what we've seen from Brett Veach.
Listen, what I say all offseason, all summer, the pressure's on Brett Veach to draft and develop, not have bad contracts on their books, and go out and win. I was wrong about one thing. I also said it'd be a step back for a couple steps forward. I was wrong. Everything Brett Veach did was perfect, and he did it so well, so fantastic. There was no step back. There was no slight regression. There was no, hey, we got to figure this out before we go to the next thing. He absolutely nailed it. And if you think about it, not only is it the rookies and draft, develop, do it old school, do it Rob Brenton way. On top of that, what he's done is he's massaged and managed the cap. Frank Clark used to be something we talk about all the time with how expensive he is and not producing. You know what he is now? Relatively cheap. Orlando Brown, I know it's his franchise tag, but considering he's a starting left tackle, he didn't get Trent Williams money. Relatively cheap. It's draft, develop, maintain the cap. Brett Veach, I've had my complaints, and I will probably have more in the future. That's how it works. But bravo, you took the Rob Brenton path, and the Rob Brenton path is headed to Phoenix.
I did a quick Google search because I was curious to see where the Chiefs, from an historic standpoint, compare with the run that they're currently on. Patrick Mahomes has been the starter now for 5 years. They have been to the Super Bowl in 3 of those years. The other 2 years, they have lost in the AFC Championship game in overtime. The Chiefs join a very small group of teams. There have been 10 franchises in league history that have been to 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. What was noticeable in this is that only one organization has done this since the creation of the salary cap. A lot of the teams were in the past. A lot of those teams were the 70s Miami Dolphins, the Minnesota Vikings, the Steelers of the 70s, the Cowboys of the 90s, the San Francisco 49ers of the 80s, some all-time great franchises. But the salary cap has changed things. Free agency has changed things. The ability for players to come and go, for you to have to make financial decisions on who you can keep and not keep. The salary cap and trades and free agency have helped create the parity that we all appreciate in the National Football League. It's really, really difficult to build a dynasty or a team that is built to last over a 4, 5, 6 year time frame. Only one organization has done that post salary cap. You guys can probably guess who that is. It's the New England Patriots. Only one organization has done this in the modern era of NFL business and transactions, and it's been the New England Patriots. The league is not designed and built for you to be able to put together a roster and do what the Chiefs have done over a half decade time. You do that by massaging the cap, as Rob said. You do that by drafting and developing well. You do that by being a really strong, fundamentally sound organization. Also, looking at the Chiefs roster, there's been a lot of turnover since they went to their first Super Bowl against San Francisco. You talk about starters that are still here on the team. Wide receiver-wise, a lot of turnover. Offensive line, a lot of turnover. The guys that are back as starters, you got Mahomes, Kelce, Hardman, Juan Thornhill. There aren't a lot of those core fundamental guys that are still on this roster that have been here over a long period of time. This is Brett Veach's team. This is Andy Reid's team. This is impressive what they've been able to put together. If you look at the modern era of NFL and you look at the way that teams have been built, it's normally a 2 or 3 year thing. You got to get it while the getting's good. That's why there's questions about Cincinnati and how long they're going to be able to do this once they start to face some of the challenges that the Chiefs have had. Well, you got to pay your star wide receiver. You got to pay your number two wide receiver. You got to pay your quarterback in this situation. Are you going to be able to keep up? Look at the AFC and NFC championship game. Only one of those teams is paying their quarterback the market rate. That was the Chiefs. the other teams have the advantage of young quarterbacks or a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo, whose contract still counts against the books, but Garoppolo's not getting top 10 money anymore at this point. What the Chiefs have been able to do as an organization, as the league starts to shift and change, should be commended. We all told Brett Veach what he had to do. Brett Veach needed to go out there and draft and develop and make smart moves. And they had to make a tough decision when it came to Tyreek Hill. They made that. They took those draft picks and they turned them into guys that were able to help them in the most important game of the season. And right now the Chiefs are in the midst of a run that only one team has been able to do over the last 30 years. Only one team has been able to keep this level of talent and also sustain the level of play that the Chiefs have had now for a half decade. We're expected to be joined by Patrick Mahomes, quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, at some point in the 2 o'clock hour. But until then, coming up on the other side, we'll talk a little KU and K-State as they play tonight. You know what? This game feels a little bit more winnable for the road team than most games at Allen Fieldhouse. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Patrick Mahomes joins the show Mondays at 2:15 and 5:15, right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Super Bowl champion? Check. NFL MVP? Check. Friend of the drive? Absolutely.
Pump fake it. Now cut it inside the five. He's into the end zone. Touchdown. Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes. So patient. He waited. He exploded.
The only place in the country where you're going to hear from the Chiefs QB every week is right here on 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Touchdown. Kansas City. And Mahomes is on fire. Five consecutive touchdown drives.
Here's C-Dot and Patrick Mahomes.
Well, we're calling a little bit of an audible here. Certainly happy to do so. Right now, let's head to the phone lines and be joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes joins us on the show today. Patrick, we appreciate you.
Yeah, man. It's always good to be on the show.
Absolutely, man. This week on your Twitter account, you thanked Julie Freimeyer. I believe that's how you pronounce her last name. And you said that she was the reason that you were the guy you were on the field. How critical was she in helping you get ready to play on Sunday?
Extremely, man. She's done a lot for me over my time with the Kansas City Chiefs, as far as my last ankle injury, my knee injury, and obviously this one this last week, just preparing me for the game. And she runs a thing called quarterback school that we keep our shoulder health and stuff like that every single year. She just continues to be more and more involved with my preparation. And obviously, everybody knows about Rick and everybody knows about Bobby and all the other guys that work with me on a day-to-day basis. But Julie's a critical part that doesn't get a lot of the love and recognition that she deserves. So I was glad that Rick tweeted that and I was able to kind of retweet it and put my own stamp on it.
How much of her help to you is also helping you mentally go out there? Because the physical side of getting your body ready is certainly important, but also mentally knowing that you can trust and play on that ankle. How much does she help there?
Yeah, I think when you build a relationship with someone as far as how you work and you put in time trying to get better, she knows how to push you to the right limit. I think that's been a big thing is she had me in the pool the day after and knew that I was able to run on the treadmill and do different stuff like that, even when I may have not thought it with the soreness and stuff like that. And so her knowing me and knowing how competitive I am, she kind of pushed me to the right limit in order for me to be as close to 100% as I could be out there on game day.
A lot was made of Burrowhead, and we'll get to some of your teammates' comments about it. But how impressed were you at Arrowhead and Chiefs Kingdom for how they showed up? Because that place was loud the entire game.
Yeah, they were rocking, man, and I mean it makes a huge difference with them being that loud and causing havoc for the other team. I mean, it gives us energy too, and whenever stuff's not going our way on the offense, and we have that crowd behind us, it helps us kind of keep things in perspective and go out there and be who we are and know that we have all of Kansas City and all of the Chiefs Kingdom behind us, man. And I love playing at Arrowhead, man. It's a special place that I luckily enough to play at a lot of times.
I feel like you guys certainly met the challenge and knew the importance of who you were playing, the importance of the magnitude. I felt like fans were the exact same. I don't feel like Cincinnati just called you the players out. I felt like they kind of called the fans out, and fans certainly took that as a challenge as well.
Oh, no doubt, man. I think Chiefs Kingdom, we roll together, everybody, and we appreciate the support as much as they appreciate us. And so it's a collective group, man. And having this advantage, this home field advantage, is something that is the reason why we're in the position that we're in today, and that we've been able to go to Super Bowls and enjoy this success because we do it all together, and it takes everybody.
Right now we're talking to Patrick Mahomes on the show here. Patrick, how cool is it to see your teammates celebrate? Some of them haven't gone to a Super Bowl. Some of the guys have been there. Chris Jones has been there. Kelsey has been there. You guys have a lot of new players and rookies. How cool is it to see some of them celebrate going to their first Super Bowl?
Yeah, man, it's cool, man. You feel like the old guy in the locker room when you're talking about the Super Bowls you've been in and to the guys that haven't been there, and you're talking about all the great times that you've had there and being able to win one and do that different type of stuff. And so to have these guys to be able to enjoy it so early in their career, I mean, there's so many rookies and young dudes on this team that don't know what it's like to not be in the Super Bowl. So for them to be able to be in the Super Bowl so early in their career, it's exciting for them, but you can't let it be too exciting because you want them to still stay locked in and ready to go because the job's not finished. We want to win it and not lose it.
Absolutely. Do you have that moment after the game where you just kind of allow yourself to celebrate and you allow yourself to think, man, we're going to our third Super Bowl in the last 4 years?
Yeah, you definitely allow yourself to celebrate. I think the only difference is whenever you've lost one, in the back of your head, you know that the job's not done a little bit quicker. I won the first one, and before we even had won one when I got the Super Bowl, I think I celebrated a little bit longer, whereas now I'm already moved on. I'm already ready to prepare for the Eagles and understand the challenge is going to be and the challenge of Super Bowl week in general, which is different than every other week of the season. So I'm definitely ready to go, but I definitely enjoyed it for about a night, and now we're on to the Eagles now.
How much did the loss against Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl motivate you? How much has it motivated you to want to get back to this point where now you get a chance to avenge what happened the last time you were there?
Yeah, no, it's definitely something that motivates you. I mean, when you're on the Super Bowl stage and you don't win the game, man, it's one of the worst feelings that you can have. I mean, it's so cool to be in the game and enjoy the week, but you want to win it. You don't dream about losing the Super Bowl. You dream about winning it, and it definitely was something that hurt, and it was something that I've built up for now and try to do whatever I can to put myself in this position again. But now, how can you go out there and grab it and find a way to win against a great football team?
After the game, the camera cut to you and you're pointing to the sky and you're clearly saying something. They normally don't show you in that moment. What are you thinking in that exact moment? I mean, right when the ball goes through the upright, you know you're going to the Super Bowl. What are you thinking in that situation?
No, I think I said after the game, man, I was just thanking God at that moment. I mean, during the game, when you're sore and you're hurting and your ankle's hurting, all you can do is just pray for strength, man. And that's all I was doing was just trying to get the strength to go out there and do what I can to help my team win, man. And so we dealt with a lot of adversity throughout that game, and we have throughout the season, but I'm glad that we were able to persevere and get to this game now. And now how can we continue to get better and better in order to try to find a way to beat a really good football team?
You and I have had conversations about social media before, and you're pretty knowledgeable. You keep up with this kind of stuff. When was the first time that you saw the mayor video from Cincinnati?
I saw it pretty quick. I mean, I got the Bleacher Report, and I follow them, so I saw it pretty quickly. I didn't actually watch the whole entire thing. I just kind of saw the quote, but then people started sending it to me, so I had to watch it, and obviously it was – I mean, I think he was trying to do it and trying to be funny and have a good time, but it definitely motivated not necessarily me as much, I think, as my teammates around me. They were wanting to have my back, and I think you saw that at the end of the game.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, because you go over to Tracy Wolfson and you're doing your normal press conference, and I mean, Orlando Brown comes over there and says, put some respect on my boy, and then Kelsey had an epic 15 minutes there with that conversation, and then when he goes up on the stage with Jim Nance, how cool was it to see that you didn't really have to do the talking after the game, your teammates stood up and had your back in those moments?
Yeah, no, I mean, that just speaks to the teammates that I have around me. I mean, we got a lot of great guys that put in the work, and we all believe in each other, man, and we're best friends out of the building, just like we are in the building. So luckily for me, we have a lot of great teammates and a lot of great players, and it puts me in a position to win a lot of football games. But I wish I had the quick thinking like Travis, man. He has like the greatest quotes of all time. So I'm about to like start writing mine down before or something, so I can get some quotes in there.
Yeah, I actually wanted to ask you this. Were you a big wrestling fan as a kid? I feel like most boys around this age were big wrestling fans. I mean, for him to pull that Rock quote out in that moment, epic moment.
Yeah, I was a big wrestling fan, but I caught the tail end of The Rock. Yeah, but he had already started becoming an actor by the time I was really into it. So that's, you know, Travis is like 45 years old, so he can remember those days with The Rock and everything like that. But I was more of a John Cena guy. Booker T. I mean, there were some guys that I liked, but not necessarily. The Rock was a little bit before my time.
Have you seen that he actually co-signed Travis Kelce's post-game comments?
Oh, I did see that. How crazy is that, man? The Rock, I mean, that's like the superstar of superstars, man. So I could see Travis in that role one day. He might be someone that leaves football after hopefully another 5-10 more years, and he might be able to move into some sort of celebrity status like that.
Right now we're talking to Patrick Mahomes here for a couple of more minutes. After your fumble, sometimes you kind of just sit down on the sideline. This time you were kind of pacing up and down the sidelines and you were talking to teammates. What are you saying in that moment?
Yeah, I think I've learned from my mistakes, man. I think last year when stuff started going downhill in the second half of that Bengals game, I started trying to do too much and started trying to make something happen to try to correct my mistakes. Whereas this year, I knew I made a mistake. I mean, everybody saw and how dumb of a mistake that was. So all I could do was just rely on my defense to make stops when it counts and still continue to do what I was doing the entire game. Not make it too much, not try to do too much, just be who I am and trust my teammates. And that's what I try to do, and it was enough to go out there and get a win.
How proud were you of your team that you guys were able to overcome these mistakes? I don't have to tell you, but in the previous three matchups against Cincinnati, it was just something always that happened that was a big reason why you lost, whether it was right before the end of the first half, an interception in overtime, just something normally happened against Cincinnati. How good was it that you guys made this mistake, and not just you, but the rest of your team were able to rebound from it and still find a way to win?
Yeah, I think you saw that from a lot of guys, man. I mean, everybody's learned. I think that's been the biggest thing. Like I said, I didn't try to do too much after I made the mistake that I did. The young guys stepped up and made big plays. I mean, we had so many rookies out there getting big minutes and a huge game, and they were able to make plays when it counted. And you see guys like Chris Jones who he thought he didn't make the plays that he needed to make at the end of last year, and he made those plays this year and probably was the most impactful player on the football field this last game. So, I mean, it's just a lot of guys that stepped up when it counted, and it took everybody. And I think that we said it before the game, we was going to do this together, and we did.
You and I have talked a lot about next man up and how important it is in those situations for guys to sort of answer the call. I think this was the most complete team victory that you've had as a team since you've been there before. All three phases of the game, offense, defense, special teams, you can point to so many guys that made a big play to help you guys win on Sunday.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we've built it up all this entire season. I mean, I don't think everybody's loved that we haven't won a lot of blowout games, but it's taken everybody to win all these games that we've won. And that we've played in a lot of close games against a lot of great opponents, and everybody stepped up at different places. And so I was glad to see that everybody stepped up in one game with such magnitude to win it. And now how can we continue that trend and get better and better so that we're ready to go in the Super Bowl?
There's been a little conversation about the officiating. Were you surprised that they threw the flag on your final offensive possession?
Not the last one. I mean, I was pretty far out of bounds, and he gave me the extra little push. But, I mean, it was – the guy's playing hard. It's hard, man. It's a hard game to play. I was trying to get out of bounds to conserve as much time as possible, and he's trying to get me out of bounds and not give me the first down. So it's a hard play for him to stop, and he had had a heck of a game. I mean, he had been a force the entire game against us. And so you feel bad for him because you know that he was giving everything he had. But, I mean, I was – pretty far out of bounds. I mean, I knew I was pretty far out of bounds when I got pushed and I hit the bench, and that's pretty far back there.
There's a lot of storylines in this Super Bowl. I mean, as many storylines as I can remember, this is the first matchup between two black quarterbacks. How proud are you of that?
I am proud, man. I mean, we've came a long way, and as I've gotten the NFL and obviously learned more and more about the history of the black quarterback, man, I'm happy that we're going to be on this stage, and it couldn't be against a better guy, man, and Jalen Hurts, and someone who's done it the right way. I've met a couple of times, just a great dude, and works his tail off, man. And I think you can see that with how his teammates believe in him, and how they've gotten better and better each and every year. And I'm glad that we're going to be able to represent the black quarterback in the biggest game of them all. So it's going to be a great experience, man, and I just hope it's a great football game.
Which storyline do you think is better, the matchup between Jason and Travis Kelce, or the fact that Coach Reed is going up against his former team?
I don't know, man. I mean, both of them are good storylines. I mean, I think there's only one coach ever that's played against four, has coached for and coached against the same team in the Super Bowl. So that'll be awesome to see. But then having the brothers go up against each other, man. I mean, it couldn't be two better guys too, as far as Jason and Travis, man. So it'll be cool to see those guys go up against each other and get out there and play. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a football game, and we'll all be ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I normally wouldn't tell you what to do, but this might be a week where you can't go on with Jason Kelce. You can't go on their podcast this week.
Yeah, I haven't been asked to yet, but I'm sure they have a podcast, and they'll have a special one for sure. And they need to bring Papa Kelce on that thing, man. Papa Kelce is the OG, man. We got to get him on that podcast.
Yeah, I would love to see their parents freak or fly at Miles, because the mom, she's at every single Chiefs and Eagles game. They got a bunch of Southwest reward points.
Yeah, I've been able to meet Donna a couple of times. He's a great person, man. He's a great family. Travis has a lot of great people around him, and it's kind of become like a second family to me, because I'm always around them too. And it's cool to see, man, to have that much support. For not only him, but for Jason and the grandkids and everybody like that.
That is the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, joining us on the show today. Patrick, I think I speak for everybody when I say congratulations, and I thought you said it well, man. Job not done. Go ahead and bring that second Lombardi trophy home.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. I appreciate it. Real quick, I just want to shout out Texas Tech for beating Iowa State. Iowa State just went down to Mizzou, and Texas Tech back-to-back weeks, man. We're on top.
Absolutely. Thanks, Patrick. That is Patrick Mahomes joining us on the show today. Shout out Texas Tech, man. I like that. We need more college shout-outs on this show, you know? We need more college shout-outs, Rob, on this show.
I like the slight toward Iowa State. That was enjoyable. It wasn't just Tech praise. It was Iowa State hate, which made it more fun for me.
I mean, both you and I feel the exact same way towards Iowa State. So, I mean, you would talk about the praise. I haven't liked Iowa State since their AD slided me that one time. Remember that time the AD just slided me that one day?
You made a great Kansas joke. He was like, all right, thanks for that. Thanks.
Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
I haven't liked Iowa State since that moment.
I'm not going to lie. I was an Iowa State fan Saturday, but they betrayed me.
Yeah, no, not at all. They completely let us down. That was the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Very happy to have him join us on the show today. I can't really say it enough that I understand that Mahomes is going to get a lot of the praise, and he should get a lot of the praise for how he played and his ability to will them to win on Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals. You factor in the ankle injury, Travis Kelce's injury, the wide receiver injuries. For them to do that is a real testament to the coaching staff that they have and the quarterback. There's a lot of great quarterbacks in this league. I don't think you win that game if Josh Allen is the starting quarterback. I don't think Joe Burrow wins the game if you put him in the same situation that Mahomes was in. I think there's only one quarterback in the league that you win that game with, and he just happens to play with the Kansas City Chiefs. But this was the biggest team effort that I can remember them having. I mean, maybe the Super Bowl win against San Francisco, but I don't remember a special teams play, not off the top of my head, that I think would rival the Sky Moore play. They also won the game on a field goal. So you think about the last final sequence for the Chiefs, big punt return, game-winning kick, defensive stands, a consecutive stance against Cincinnati, and the offense and how Patrick Mahomes played. It was as total and complete of a team effort, Rob, that I can remember from the Chiefs.
And we talked about it yesterday. Full disclosure, we talk on the show about, all right, what are we going to talk about today? We prep the show, and we always think players are polarizing. And we were like, all the guys that have big games we already talked about, and it's all the players that you mentioned. Harrison Butker has been polarizing all year. He was fantastic on Sunday. MVS. Me and you have disagreed on MVS for what, 9 months now?
That's
10
true.
Months now? We don't have to go into who was right and who was wrong. What's important is on Sunday, he was sensational. Sky Moore was a whipping boy by the fan base. You know what he was? Great in punt return on Sunday. Frank Clark, who me and you agreed with most of the year, where have you been? We called him the tummy ache, not the shark. He was the shark on Sunday. It was a full team effort, and the guys who had been, you know, goats, but not the greatest of all time goats, the goats like the Cubs goat, really shined in those moments. And it was cool to see, because how many Mondays do we talk on the show and we're like, how do you make Patrick Mahomes was awesome, new content? That wasn't the deal. Mahomes was awesome, but the deal was the other guys stepped up. It was full and complete team football.
Coming up on the other side, we'll talk a little bit of college basketball and how this game tonight between KU and K-State, it just feels a little bit more winnable than most games at Allen Fieldhouse. And you heard in our conversation with Patrick Mahomes, The Rock shouted out Travis Kelce. We'll tell you what he said. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive. Catch insider Nate Taylor with Cody and Gold every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. Download the Odyssey app and listen to The Drive with Carrington wherever you are.
Maybe we shouldn't talk about this as a topic, but I just wouldn't be true to myself if we don't do it. I follow Curtis Siebold on Twitter. I actually like Curtis Siebold a lot, so this isn't a shot in any way. You know how they do the Frank Opinions, Rob? You know, you've probably helped create some of the Frank Opinions. You used to be over there. And one of their questions is, did you have to look up to see what a jabroni was? I feel like that question right now is why the two shows are so very different. Because I feel like if you listen to this show, you probably got a really good idea of what a jabroni is. You probably know. I could see how the people that listen to that show religiously maybe don't know. I mean, I grew up in the Attitude Era. I grew up in the, I can't believe the Game Boy went to color and playing Pokemon Red, Blue. Remember when they had Pokemon Yellow? I mean, what a time. I grew up in the Attitude Era. I had a Yo-Mega yo-yo. You remember the yo-yo, the brain, Rob? You might be a little too young for the brain. Remember it would come back up on its own? It was the greatest invention ever. I feel like the people that listen to this show know what a jabroni is. I think they know. I think they know about checking into the SmackDown Hotel, and that's what separates the two shows.
You're telling me us, the Dunkaroos generation, know what a jabroni is?
Yeah. I mean, people keep going. I feel like that's what separates our show and their show.
People
you know, if you listen to this show, you listen to me, you know what a jabroni is.
I 100% agree. I had Go-Gurt and watched Rocket Power, so I know what a jabroni is.
100%. What a time. What a time. Let's talk about your Kansas Jayhawks for a little bit. Not a lot. We'll talk about your Kansas Jayhawks for a little bit. Rob, they have played 4 conference games so far at Allen Fieldhouse. Today is the 5th. Let me just go through some of it for a little bit here. Because, K-State fan, I am telling you, I don't think there's a reason to be afraid to go into Allen Fieldhouse this year. I don't think the numbers support it. Their first game in conference play, they played Oklahoma State. They won by 2 points. That game was tight late. Oklahoma, they were down 10 with 3 minutes to go in the game against Oklahoma. Iowa State, they were down late in the second half of that one. They won by 2. And then their last conference home game, they played TCU, and they got beat by 23. Now, I am not saying that you should ever go into Allen Fieldhouse expecting to win. The officials, I mean, the team won't allow that. The crowd won't allow that. You can never feel confident going into Allen Fieldhouse. But I am telling you, if you look at conference play and you watch how this KU team has played, you shouldn't think that you can't go in there and win today. Because we've certainly seen some KU teams that winning in Allen Fieldhouse, it is unrealistic to think that you could win in Allen Fieldhouse. I don't think that this K-State team fits in the category of a team that doesn't think they should be able to go into Allen Fieldhouse and win today. They should expect to be competitive. They should expect with 4 minutes to go that they're in it with a chance to win. And you can't say that in most seasons about going into Allen Fieldhouse.
Let me ask you this. Isn't this the same discourse we had about the Bengals and other teams coming into Arrowhead and winning AFC championship games, but then Arrowhead flexed and does what Arrowhead does best and made the opponent shrivel? Isn't the closest comparison to Arrowhead locally Allen Fieldhouse? When it flexes, it makes people shrivel. I mean, K-State hasn't won an Allen Fieldhouse since 2005. Me and you were both learning what a jabroni was the last time the Cats came into Lawrence to got a win, to make this full circle. I get your point. KU seems more vulnerable at home than usual. Trust me, I'm a season ticket holder. I have seen it live. But you know what they always do? They walk out of victory because that's what that barn does. It shakes, it rattles, it rolls, and KU wins.
KU will more than likely win today. I'm not telling you to bet the Cats. History would tell you to bet on the side that happens 97% of the time than the 3% of the time. But you and I heard the same story on Little Giants, and all you got to do is be Kevin down Cherry Hill one time. If you're K-State, you know what's sitting there right in front of you, the Big 12 championship. It's right there in front of you. If you can win this single series against KU, you win this one game, you should expect to win the Big 12. It's right there in front of you. And they're vulnerable at home. You can beat them. Right, when was the last time you were super impressed by KU?
Before Saturday, since including Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, Kentucky
it's not a great Kentucky
better.
Team. Yeah,
Kentucky is a 7 or 8 seed in the NCAA tournament. Missouri beat Kentucky, to let you know.
That's
and
fair.
Missouri ain't got no size, and they smoked Kentucky a month ago. Smoked Kentucky. I'm not taking away from you. Good win on the road, conference play. Non-con, I get it. I'm not hating on the win against Kentucky. But when's the last time you were like, huh? That was a really impressive game from KU. It's been like a month, man.
Was it Indiana or it may have been Missouri? That's an honest thing because of the rivalry, the road game, the juice, the whole deal.
Indiana, I would probably say. I mean,
yeah.
They smoked Indiana. They beat them by 22. So that's probably the answer. That was on December 17th, that game against Indiana. Now, the Big 12 is tough, and you're not blowing any of these teams out. But normally in Allen, they have a couple – can you normally have a couple of those like 8 to 12 point wins that like it feels close in the second half, but it's not really close. You never really think they're in danger. They just haven't had a whole lot of them this week. Again, I think KU's a little bit vulnerable here. And I think the Eco Cats got a chance to go on the road. And I think they got a small chance to be able to pull off an upset later today in Allen Fieldhouse. So Rob, since we're talking about it, I'm sure by now you've seen it. Travis Kelce, Channel The Rock.
Hey, I got some wise words for that Cincinnati mayor. Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni. You gotta fight for your right to party!
So that was Travis Kelce after the Chiefs win on Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals. But did you know that The Rock went on his Twitter account and gave Travis Kelce a shout out?
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Dwayne Johnson, look at my boy Trav out here cutting rock promos with the heat. I love it, Travis Kelce, Super Bowl bound. You know what I would give up for The Rock to say, my boy? I would love to be boys with The Rock. Rob, do you know anybody that doesn't like The Rock? There's some people that walk among us that have 100% approval rating. You don't know a single human being that doesn't like The Rock. If you don't like The Rock, I just assume that the issue is with you and not with The Rock. What has The Rock ever done? What has The Rock ever said that's offended anybody? All he's done is entertain us now for almost 25 years is what The Rock has done. He made a seamless transition into Hollywood. He just seems like a swell guy. Who dislikes The Rock?
Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel is the one guy that clearly does not like The Rock.
That's a good point.
It's very well documented that he does not like The Rock. But he is clearly the outlier that proves the point. The Rock is nearly as close to universally liked as you can. If you just don't have one, if you have one hater, you're doing pretty good.
That's a good point. Now that you say that, he and Vin Diesel don't really appear to get along. When you think about it, though, it's probably Vin Diesel's problem. I mean, if you really know what their beef is between the two, The Rock seems like the guy that wakes up every day at 3:30 in the morning, eats raw eggs, just a super overachiever. Vin Diesel kind of has the I'm going to be there when I'm there kind of energy, you know? Vin don't know the lines. Vin wasn't here for the walkthrough. He wasn't here for the table reading of the script. He's just going to show up and say, it's about family. And that's all he's going to do. The Rock don't seem like he's like that. And I think that's what really caused their beef. It's Vin Diesel's issue, not The Rock's issue. That's beside the point. He then goes on and says, he retweeted 3 separate times, The Rock did. And then his final tweet, he said, my boy said what he said. I appreciate the venomous shut yo over the formal shut your, laughing out loud at Travis Kelce. The Rock's the greatest, man. The absolute greatest. Every Monday, it was just a spectacle. Thursday night SmackDown, I remember. You guys don't remember SmackDown on the old UPN days. What a time. I remember they used to have Saturday Night Heat. Oh, I was real deep into the wrestling back when I was a young boy. Oh, I loved it.
Were you with The Rock or did you ride with Stone Cold?
I was cheering for The Rock. I like Stone Cold too, though.
I was a Stone Cold guy.
Have you ever, I mean, maybe, I know you don't watch wrestling anymore. I don't watch it that much either, but.
There was a weird amount of my timeline tweeting about it on Sunday. I'm not going to lie to you.
It was the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
I heard the Royal Rumble was actually really good. I didn't watch it, but I heard the Royal Rumble was actually really good. I was kind of curious to go back. With how many people were talking about it, I thought about going back to watch it for myself. I was actually very surprised at how many people were watching it. I'm at the point in my life where sometimes I'll go back and I'll watch like old wrestling matches on YouTube or on Peacock. And I'll be ashamed of the wrestlers that I used to really like. Like, there was a time Bret Hart was my favorite wrestler. Why did I like somebody as uncool as Bret Hart? Like, Bret Hart was never cool. Why did I like him? Why was I a Bret Hart fan? He used to wear those cool glasses. I remember his hair always looked wet like he just got out of the shower. He was just such a technically sound wrestler. I used to love Bret Hart when I was a young boy.
I loved John Cena.
Oh, my goodness. Just, John Cena's corny.
I see it now. Trust me, I look back now and I see his wrestling clips and he still goes and wrestles every once in a while and people show his intro video and the five knuckle shuffle and the whole deal. And I think to myself, what was I doing? This is the dorkiest, corniest thing. But, oh man, I was a huge Cena fan.
Someone on the text line says The Rock is an absolute cheese ball and a Hollywood shill. Of course, somebody on the text line wouldn't like The Rock. I mean, that's par for the course. The only person the text line 100% likes is Patrick Mahomes. Everybody else, very questionable character.
I mean, I'm just psyched that Vin Diesel listens to the show.
I would actually like to know, you know how we hear those stories from actors where they're like, oh, well, I was supposed to be X, Y, and Z. Like Will Smith has told the story of how he was supposed to be Neo in The Matrix, and he declined it. I would love to hear the movies that The Rock has declined because it doesn't seem like he has ever turned down a movie role. If you got enough money, The Rock will do your movie. You might have to come up with a lot of money to get The Rock to do your movie, but if you come up with the necessary capital, The Rock will do any movie that you suggest him to do. I would love to hear The Rock. Hey, can you tell us the movie that you were supposed to be in that for whatever reason just didn't work out, like schedule, or you just weren't feeling it? I mean, everybody has those stories, right? I'd love to hear The Rock's. You did Rampage. You did San Andreas. You've done Jungle Cruise. You've said yes to every movie over the last 10 years. I'd love to hear the movies you said no to.
You didn't even mention his worst movie, Skyscraper. He did Skyscraper. It was awful.
You can't make Rampage and make Skyscraper. You cannot make both of those movies. He also did San Andreas. Remember that one?
Yeah, that one great.
The Rock has made some hilarious movies.
And what's weird is I love him in Jumanji,
Jumanji is good.
Jumanji's good, but he made a second one. Someone came to him and said, hey, let's do this again. He was like, I'm in.
Somebody said The Rock played the Tooth Fairy, for goodness sake. I'm telling you, The Rock, if you have the money, The Rock will do any. You could have any idea of a movie, like literally any idea, The Rock will do it. He will do your movie if you have the necessary funding. Someone said, is he an 80 for Brady? The budget's not high enough. If they had the money, he would play Sally Field at 80 for Brady, 100%. There's no doubt in my mind that The Rock would do that.
Remember, I mean, we don't talk about it because it's been a year ago. Do you remember he did that weird promo on the field at the Super Bowl last year that took like 2.5 minutes?
I don't think that was weird. I actually thought that was kind of cool.
It was cool for like the first 90 seconds, and then another 2 minutes goes by of him just being him in the field of L.A.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the AFC Championship game between the Chiefs and the Bengals. Rob, if you can give me a little bit of sad music here, I know we're having a little bit of fun here, and we can continue to have fun just with a different tone and tenor. Right now, if you go on change.org, there is a real petition for the AFC Championship game to be a do-over. I kid you not. I could post the link if you want to read it for yourself. There is a change.org petition for a do-over of the AFC Championship game. Now, some of you guys might not know what change.org is. Let me just go on here. The byline of it says the world's platform for change. And then you click on some of the actual petitions. Ban African elephant trophy imports now. And it's got 25,000 people supporting it. Or save the Maine lobster industry. I don't know what's going on with the Maine lobster industry, but it needs to be saved. Talking about firing police officers that have done wrong things. People use change.org for serious things. Not Bengals fans. Rob, listen to this. You want me to do my fan voice? I'll do it for you. I got you. Bengals fans started this petition. After watching the game and analyzing what we all witness here, I think it's safe to say we should have a game do-over. It was way too many times the refs overlooked some of the things that the Chiefs players were doing. But when Cincinnati did it, we got called for it. Due to the fact that it wasn't a Chief versus Cincinnati game, it was a Cincinnati versus refs game. If you think the NFL should review the game and consider it a do-over, please sign this petition. I did not make this up. You can Google it. I'll post the link if you want to read it. Change.org. A Bengals fan started this petition because they want a do-over for the AFC Championship game. I can't remember a fan base that has gone out as sad as I believe Cincinnati is going out here. It was just a month ago you guys were calling yourself the big dog of the AFC. It was Burrowhead. You guys were coming to take over Arrowhead. You guys were going to come in buses and planes and droves to take over Arrowhead and win the second consecutive Arrowhead Invitational. You went home sad. You went home disappointed. You went home losers. And there's nothing wrong with losing. We all lose from time to time. Even the 2007 Patriots lost. Everybody loses. But it's how you handle the loss. It's how you respond to the loss. Do you hold your head held up high and use this as motivation to come back? Or do you cry, sulk, and pout and say, life isn't fair? It wasn't a Chiefs versus Cincinnati game. It was Cincinnati versus the refs. They should review the game and do it over. The NFL was mean to us. They tried to put the AFC Championship game in a neutral site. They were so mean to us, we had to go on the road and play Buffalo. Why does no one care? The league is out to get us. No one likes us. Going out sad, Cincy. Going out sad. I had such high hopes for you guys. I thought y'all was a little tougher than this, man. I thought y'all was a little bit more G than this. You out here starting petitions, man. Crying about the officials, man. Take your loss and move on, man. Everybody else has. You're the only people still crying about it. Still holding on to that L. Holding on to that loss. Speaking of losers, Coming up on the other side, you guys remember the first guy that said Burrowhead? You remember him? Mike Hilton. Let me tell you how Mike Hilton was getting hibachi grilled cooked on Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, you will want to hear these numbers because your boy was out here getting deep fried. That's coming up, Mr. Drive.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.